Well, it's hard to think we've actually reached the last service of the day, but it's a special one. It's a Vesper, and the opening hymn is hymn number 149 in the Red Book, and afterwards, Brother Jerry will ask a blessing on the Vesper. It's 149 in the Red. I'm not sure of the name. Hid with Christ. Okay.
Holy Father in heaven, we thank thee for this privilege to bow before thee at thy throne of grace, for the doors that have been opened to us by thy love and mercy and truth, and the justice that has been satisfied by thy dear Son, Jesus. Dear Father, we thank thee now for this concluding session of these blessed days. And it is desire that we will lay hold on the precious promises. Abide under the shadow of thy wing and the precious promises of truth and righteousness, that we may properly use the inheritance which you have opened to us. We ask thy blessing to be with Brother Walter as he leads this meeting. As we lift our hearts in praise, and as we walk more closely in the footsteps of thy Son, Jesus, we seek thy blessing with your people in every place, those that are near to us and those that are far from us, known to thee, that your spirit and strength and truth will guide and uphold ones according to their needs. And so we leave this hour in thy loving care. Please lift our hearts and minds to spiritual things. We ask and pray in Jesus' precious name and merit. Amen.
Well, the title of this Vesper is The Joy Set Before Us. Brother Walt.
We wish to thank the Lord for a wonderful convention and thank the Puget Sound brethren for their hospitality. Sister Sharon,
No, I was just thanking them.
Oh, let's do that. Thank you, brethren. The assigned topic was the joy set before us. And indeed, we've had a very great precursor to our Vesper service with the study. In fact, I think most of the scriptures I had in mind were already used. But the wonderful thing about the scriptures, the more we use them, the more we love and appreciate them. We're going to move right into our subject and begin with the thoughts from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, and have that read. And Brother Darren Hankey will read that for us. Whoops. Program may have a few hitches in it. This is my first Vesper service for quite some time, and I didn't lay it out quite perfectly.
I didn't know what I was going to read.
So oh, I'm sorry. Again, we have, as was mentioned in our study, the joy set before us is taken from the scripture that Brother Darren is going to read for us. And again, I apologize, Brother Darren, for not making that more clear. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3.
Therefore, since we have no great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every
encumbrance
and the sin which is easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thank you. And as we learned from our study, there were several joys set before Jesus. And Brother Tim Allen is going to rehearse those to us from the fifth volume, page 118 and 119.
We are to remember that it was in connection with these tests of his obedience to the Father that there was set before him a certain joy or prospect, as it is written, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame," Hebrews 12:2. This joy before him, we may reasonably suppose, was 1. A joy to render a service which would be acceptable to the Father. 2. A joy to redeem mankind and make possible their rescue from sin and death. 3. A joy in the thought that by the accomplishment of this redemption, he would be accounted worthy of the Father to be the mighty ruler and blesser, king and priest of the world, to reveal to the world a knowledge of the divine plan, and to lift up from sin to divine grace whosoever would accept of the terms of the new covenant. And 4, a joy that the Father had promised him not only a return to glory of spirit being, which he had with the Father before the world was, but a more excellent glory to be exalted far above angels, principalities, and powers, and every name that is named, and to be named and to be made an associate in the kingdom of the universe, next to the Father, on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and a partaker of the divine nature, which is with its inherent or immortal life.
Thank you, Brother Tim. The ransom and its provision was exclusively our Lord Jesus' privilege and activity. The rest of these joys are ours to claim also. And as was mentioned during the study, our highest motive should be to be blessing and to please the Heavenly Father. Brother Dan Beard has a quote that the Palmgren sent up my way. It's from Harvest Gleanings, and we'll have Brother Dan read that.
The only begotten himself appears not to have thought particularly of the promised glory. The joy set before him, however, seems to have been that he would do the Father's will and thus demonstrate his absolute loyalty even unto death. While no doubt it was a joy to the Lord to be the Father's agent in the rescue of Adam and his raised from sin and death, nevertheless, we believe that his chief joy in connection with the matter was that thus he might demonstrate to the Father his absolute love by his submission and obedience. Our Lord's own words were, "Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was," John 17:5. He knew of the Father's proposed exaltation of him as a reward, but he did not mention this. He would merely ask of the Father that when he had accomplished the divine purpose, he might have back the same honor and position and divine favor which he had laid aside when he humbled himself to become Adam's redemption price, the world's savior.
So this should be our highest motive, to follow in the Lord's footsteps of pleasing our Heavenly Father above all. The Heavenly Father, to quote reprint 1948 once again, is very solicitous for the happiness of his children, even in the present life. And I asked Brother Robert to read this selection, and this was just before his talk, and he says, I'll read anything you want, just set it there on my desk. And turns out he quoted the very same article in his service. So this will be just a bit of repetition, but repetition heightens impression.
Not only the same article, the same paragraph.
Yes. You know.
This is from the article, The Christian's Joy, 1948. And it actually has the golden text of Psalm 16, verse 11. When we consider how much is said in the scriptures about joy and rejoicing among God's people, we are deeply impressed with the thought that our Heavenly Father is very solicitous for our happiness, for the happiness of His children, even in the present life. The worldly minded cannot see this. They look upon the lot of God's children as a hard and joyless one, and upon God as a hard master, without concern for the happiness of His children. This, however, is only because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritually minded have meat to eat that the world knows not of, and their hearts rejoice, and their joy no man taketh from them.
Thank you. Indeed, we have this joy before us, but we have this joy now too. And as our study brought out, we have the first fruits of our inheritance. The joy ahead of us is in the distance, but we have in our possession the realization of that joy, and its soon reception to our own person as something tangible by faith that we accept now. We have our joys and we have our sorrows, as Sister Judy Garrison brought out in our study yesterday, Memorial Time. We have a cup of joy and a cup of blessing and a cup of sorrow with it. We have our Sister Bonnie to read 2 Corinthians 4:14-18, which puts things in a very good perspective. Sister Bonnie?
2 Corinthians 4:14-18, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Thank you. So indeed, our outward man does perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, the joy set before us. So how do we open this door of joy? Again, a text brought up in our study, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think each of us could cite that from memory, but I'll look it up to get it a little more accurate. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And also John 14:23, once we've entered this door, we have to continue. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What a marvelous promise, but it's provisional. First, we have to make our full unreserved consecration, and then we have to keep ourselves in the love of God through the sanctification process. But what a marvelous joy, both present and future, to have Jesus and our Heavenly Father make their abode with us. Brother Robert referred to our Psalm 16:11, and that certainly applies to the future, but also present application that I can't read the wall plaque from here, and I didn't look it up ahead of time. Pardon me just a moment. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we have the pleasures forevermore ahead, but we also have the privilege, if we're living a consecrated, acceptable life to the Lord, fullness of joy with the Lord's presence now. One hymn that we also sang yesterday, but Sister Bushless has graciously consented to play for us, hymn 179, reflective of the joy that we have. Our life flows on in endless song. 179.
Thank you.
if we're able to fully drink in the lesson that Brother Bushless brought us earlier and the lesson Brother Robert presented to us. How can we keep from singing? Through the stormiest trials, we sing songs of praise and help, and through the joys, we sing songs of praise. Go ahead and stay seated there for a moment. We've got a couple comments and then another hymn, 264, we can be turning to. And we have instructions how to receive more joy. John 6:63 tells us, Jesus' words, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Amazing how words can give spirit and life to us. And 2 Timothy 2:15, another scripture that was shared with us yesterday, "Study or use diligence to show yourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth." And to encourage us to do that, we'll sing about these wonderful words of life, hymn 264. Thank you. Peter asked the question in Matthew 19:27, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And we'll read the answer from Luke 18. "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." So it sounds like a win-win situation. We receive so much more in this present life, plus the joy that is set before us. Appreciated the text again that Brother Steve brought to our attention, Acts 20:35, that it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. And this is one of the joys that we receive in this present walk. And we're going to sing a little bit about that. Hymn number 193 uses the phrase that we find present joy in works of thine. Hymn 193. In the Jesus invitation in Matthew 26, verses 27 to 29, to drink of this cup, and that he'll not drink again until he drinks anew with us in the kingdom. And this cup is indeed a cup of joy and a cup of sorrow, a mixed brew. First Peter 1, 6, 5 through 7 actually puts this in a beautiful perspective. First Peter 1, 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So indeed, for a season, sometimes we do go through heaviness and trial and lesson, but it is for the development and growth of our faith. Can anything separate us from the love of God? Brother Ed Bushless is going to read Romans 8, 35 to 39 along those lines. Brother Ed?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
This is a promise we can grasp by faith, that no matter what is allowed to come our way, it's a good thing, to quote a phrase. We are on a mountaintop enjoying the rich blessings and fruits of the Spirit, fellowship with one another, but the joy that we feel on a day-to-day circumstance, as we put one foot in front of the other, this tells the story. We have the quote from Our Most Holy Faith, page 541, that I think I gave that to Brother Ed to read. Very good. Could you read that for us? Called Common Days.
One of the chief dangers of life is trusting occasions. We think that conspicuous events, striking experiences, exalted moments have most to do with our character and capacity. We are wrong. Common days, monotonous hours, wearisome paths, plain old tools, and everyday clothes tell the real story. Good habits are not made on birthdays, nor Christian character at the new year. The vision may dawn, the dream may waken, the heart may leap with a new inspiration on some mountaintop, but the test, the triumph, is at the foot of the mountain on the level plain. The workshop of character is everyday life. The uneventful and commonplace hour is where the battle is won or lost. Thank God for a new truth, a beautiful idea, a glowing experience, but remember that unless we bring it down to the ground and teach it to walk with feet, work with hands, and stand the strain of daily life, we have worse than lost it. We have been hurt by it. A new light in our heart makes an occasion, but an occasion is an opportunity, not for building a tabernacle and feeling thankful and looking back to a blessed memory, but for shedding the new light on the old path and doing old duties with new inspiration. The uncommon life is the child of the common day, lived in an uncommon way.
Thank you, Brother Ed. So indeed, we have a most boisterous joy that we have available to us. But we also have our daily, putting one foot in front of the other, experiences. And we balance this and press ahead. Common tools show the work and the progress of our consecrated lives as we keep pressing on to the joy that is ahead of us. Our victories also are not always exploding fireworks, monumental triumphs. We especially appreciated how Brother Barton phrased this in his writing on victory, and Sister Helen Gorgas is going to read that for us.
Okay. Victory. When I am neglected or forgotten or purposely set at naught, and I smile inwardly, glorying in the insult, that is victory. When my good is evil spoken of, my wishes are crossed, my taste offended, my advice ridiculed, and I take it all in patient, loving silence, that is victory. When I am content with simple raiment, plain food, any climate, any solitude, any interruption, that is victory. When I can stand face to face with folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, contradiction of sinners, persecution, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that's victory. When I never care to refer to myself in conversation, nor seek commendation, when I am truly when I can truly love, to be known, unknown, that is victory.
Thank you, Sister Helen. So our common days, our daily victories, faithfully persisted in, will result in our final victory, as is worded in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Let's see, we have Heidi to read 1 Corinthians 2:9-16 about how the natural eye. Whoops. Joanna, sorry. How the natural eye perceives the glory before us and how the spiritual eye discerns it.
1 Corinthians 2:9-16. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save a spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know him, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet in himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ."
Thank you. So indeed, we have the mind of Christ. We are able to discern, albeit through a glass darkly, the joy that is set before us. To mankind, it's not feasible, not understandable, not discernible. But God has revealed this to us by his Spirit. Again, the 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And we'll sing Appendix P to bring our hearts and minds to that appreciation. Appendix P, and I don't know what that is in the blue book. Face to face.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful thought to wrap our minds around for a little bit on one of those dreary days, those times where the world encroaches in upon us, just to take a moment and think of that time. There's a couple of more texts we're going to have read about our change. Andrew, would you read Philippians 3, 20 and 21 for us, please?
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Thank you. We got most of that. The change our vile body, I think probably that brings our minds to Romans 7, where the apostle was reflecting on the uncooperative nature of the old creature versus the desires and goals of the new creature. And we'll put off this vile body and put on the new in just a little while. 1 John 3, 1 to 3, Sister Irina, will you read that for us?
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Another thought to wrap our minds around. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is one thought that the 2 Corinthians text doesn't fully let us discern, only partially. But we'll recognize that one when the time comes. And as the text goes on to say, that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What an ennobling, purifying, holy thought this is. I've often heard it expressed that if we could have a moment's glimpse beyond the veil to our heavenly home before we make our calling and election sure, what an impetus this would be to help us to keep striving, to keep trying to please the Lord and be faithful. We'll have Sister Dorchen read Revelation 19, 6 to 9, about that beyond the veil experience.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he says unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, These are the true sayings of God.
Ausgezeichnet. What a beautiful scene before us. Let's sing hymn 170 next about our home. We have maybe some grander, loftier tunes, but 170 seemed more more homey. 170. Sister Andrea is going to read us a poem from Poems of Dawn, page 205, Some Glad, Sweet Day About Our Home. Again, I want to thank Brother Darren for his fleet of foot. Here am I, send me a microphone passing.
Some glad, sweet day. Someday, some glad, sweet day. We shall be like our blessed Lord and see him as he is. Soon we shall strain our weary eyes no more to catch beyond this earthly house of fettering clay a gleam of heavenly glory from his radiant face. Some day, some fair sweet day, his loving hand will wipe away our tears. His tender voice will thrill our souls with rapture when we hear him say, "Well done, dear heart, well done. My joy is thine for thee. The victor's crown is won. Thou hast been faithful. Thou hast borne the cross. The thorns have pierced thy feet. But now the night is past. The day hath come, bright, glorious day of endless joy and love. The trial time hath proved thee true, and thou art safe, beloved, in thy Father's home. O glorious day, for thee we long, we will be faithful.
will the burdens bear sustained by grace divine in meek submission to thy holy will. Dear Lord, by faith we clasp thy hand as side by side we tread the narrow way and wait, for it will surely come some day, some dear sweet day. O tarry not too long.
Thank you, Sister Andrea. One text that Brother Dan brought to our attention in the study yesterday, which is one of those texts that you just have to sit down and look at and think about a while and use your imagination. Zephaniah 3:17. It would help if I had the right chapter. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. You can picture in your mind's eye the creator, foundation of the universe, finding you, my dear brethren, a joy. It's almost beyond imagination to be a joy to the Heavenly Father, and that he will sing over us. Brother Dan and I were talking earlier of how many times singing and joy and melody is mentioned in the scriptures, but I don't think any of us can imagine anything more beautiful than the Heavenly Father singing over us. Well, we've got some work ahead of us. Genesis 24:60 tells us that we're going to be mother to thousands of millions. It sounds like a pretty big job, but we'll be up to it. As Brother Robert brought out in his talk, we're in our training session now. We're in school to learn. Isaiah 49:9-10. Isaiah 49:9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall feed them, even by the spring of water shall he guide them. And again, the familiar thoughts of Isaiah 35, that a highway shall be there. We don't have time, but I think you all pretty much remember the quote from the first volume, page 191. Close your eyes for a minute. Those blessings and joys that are spoken of mankind in perfection, that's going to be our job, our privilege in the kingdom, the joy set before us. And Sister Bonnie is going to read a couple of Ephesian texts for us, Ephesians 2:4-7 and 3:20-21, about the time ahead of that.
Okay, Ephesians 2:4-7.
Yes.
But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
And the 3:20-21. And then we're done.
Ephesians 3:20-21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
It's hard for us to comprehend a world without end. What will you be doing a million years from now? We'll find out. May the Lord add his blessing, and may we all be faithful.
Thank you, Brother Walt. We had thought it'd be nice to end with the convention with a little reflection and meditation and hymns, and so we'd appreciate any feedback on that thought. Sure have enjoyed it myself. Let's close with hymn number 27. Number 27 in the Red Book. Close with prayer, but please stay seated. We'll have Songs of the Night and hymn number 64 afterwards.
Our dearest Father, we come again in the name and merit of Jesus with thankfulness and joy in our hearts. Thank thee for thy patience with us, and thank thee for the joy set before us. Thank thee for this weekend to consider our present inheritance as well as the future inheritance. Fill us more with thy Spirit. Help us to help one another make our calling and election sure. And we ask thy watch care over all our brethren according to their needs. We leave our lives with thee through Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Brother Walt. We do want to thank all the speakers that, again, for their time on our behalf and getting these lessons together. And we especially want to thank also the piano players. They're a rare thing at this point in time, and they're especially helpful in these kind of meetings. So we want to thank them very much for their service. I think we'll go ahead and read the songs of the night. And it is May 30th. When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit, in harmony with the Lord's promise, was sent only to the consecrated class and was to abide in the true church class, the body of Christ. And we and all others who since have come into fellowship and union with our Lord, the head of the body, which is the church, have thus come into and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, our rightful portion and privilege. By this Spirit, we were begotten to the spiritual nature and became heirs of all the exceeding great and precious promises which belong to the body of Christ. Again, the text. When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, John 16:13. It's a very lovely text. Okay, and now we'll sing hymn number 64. And immediately, well, actually, by 6:15, we should go down for dinner. Again, we hope all you can stay. And it's hard to end the fellowship, so we're really looking forward to your fellowship down there. And please stay with us and fellowship this evening with us. And with that, we'll close the convention with hymn number 64.
Thank you.
Thank you, brethren, for coming.